Hello, Desmond. I see that you're on the line, and I'm opening you up right now. How are you today?
Oh, I'm having a great day. I went to the Lutheran Church and then to the Anglican, and it was amazing. And then I went to Global Connections, and then I left because I didn't like it. But I had this amazing experience with some financial. I was, like, really behind. I was a little worried, but I was like, just stay present. And I had a roommate come in. So I got my money made up. I had my friend bring in an extra roommate. So then I got another extra money. And then my friend, he's like, I love you so much. And he just mailed me some money. I was like, oh my God. So I got some money in it. I never worried about it. I stayed centered as well as I could. I had a question about the spirit and how infinity is within inside of our sacred hearts. And with the spirit, is that where we center our focus is on the sacred heart so that we can find infinity within the spirit and then therefore be in the whole of it?
You know, Desmond, you and I are so synchronous at times. That was the very thing I was going to talk about today. So if you don't mind, I'll just wait until I can present it for the whole group.
Oh, certainly.
Be well.
I love you.
I love you too. Be well, be happy, and congratulations on the support you're getting.
Thank you, Glenda. I love you.
You bet. I love you too. And we have Gary. Is it Gary or is someone else owns this phone line? It is on this phone line. You're on.
This is Debbie.
Oh, Debbie. Okay. Yeah, I need to change. Let's see if I can change the name that comes in on this. No, I can't. Doggone it. I wish I, because I get another name on your phone line, but that's neither here nor there. How are you today?
I am good. Gary's my husband.
Okay.
So, I opened a drawer and I found some of your angel cards that I had forgotten that I bought, and I wanted to ask a question or two about them, how you came about to paint them, and also, do I just put them out and look at them, or do I, how do I use them, or am I supposed to?
The cards, are you talking about the greeting cards?
No, they're just little, maybe no bigger than a bookmark marker.
Are they the little 5x7 altar cards?
Yes.
Okay. Well, they're just, they are to convey the energy of those angels. And most of the angels that I painted as the guardian angel for someone. And then I may have painted another version for myself because I so enjoyed the painting. But well, let me tell you a little bit about the way I painted a guardian angel. I didn't paint them that way because physically they looked that way, but because it conveyed the energy I felt guarding them. And each one of us has a divine energy guarding and protecting us. And I suppose, as I've seen in my own case, if the angels actually move into a physical presence, they do take on a form. Sometimes they come as an eagle or some other noble animal. But most of the time they come in a form that we can relate to in the sense of being, of it being like a soulmate, someone or something that feels like us. But in their normal, natural state, they are an energetic extension of the Creator. And we each have that light given to us to keep us from ever going too deeply into material or physical diving into the earth plane, to remind us that we are a soul, we have a spiritual life, and they're here to guide us and keep us safe. And there are very ancient acknowledgments, including all the way to the back to the earliest books of the Bible, that in fact we do have guardian angels. The angels that appeared to Abraham and so many of the other early prophets They celebrated the presence of God inside this world. So when you, let's say, you, if you see an angel, maybe a sculpture or a painting or a card or an altar card that appeals to you, know that it appeals to you because of the energy it brings to you. And that's what I would focus on if I were you. It's to be put in a place that is special for you. Maybe it's beside a plant you love or a floral arrangement or on your desk beside your computer to help purify the energy that comes from your computer. Because that's what angels do. They purify the energy around us.
Well, you answered my question. I was going to ask how to make that how to make it stronger with me, how to ask, how to bring an angel into my presence more.
Right. Well, well, you already have an angel. The first thing I would do is say hello and say then follow that with thank you for guarding and protecting me and being with me. Then you might like to ask a question. Would you like for me to know more about you? I know you know everything about me, but would you like me to know more about you? And your angel will give you an affirmative or perhaps, I wouldn't say ever a negative, but they may back off, meaning you're better off not knowing. But if it comes in an affirmative, ask your angel, what would you like to know about me? And then you can ask your angel, what would you like to protect me from or help me with? Start a conversation, in other words.
Okay. I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, angels love to be acknowledged because they live most of their life invisible. What if you were invisible? Wouldn't you like someone to say hello?
I sure would.
Doesn't it just make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's basically what I did for people when I painted their angel, is I helped them have a better connection with their angel.
And they're beautiful. Your paintings
Thank you.
Are beautiful.
I did that for about, let's see, after I painted the Lamb and the Lion, the next painting I was called to paint was the Flame of Love, which is Mary with the child. He's probably about 4 to 6 months old in that painting. And then it was like, wow, what do I do next? I mean, everything pales by comparison to those two experiences. It's just, what in the world could I paint? And an angel came to me. I'm sure it was my guardian angel who probably helped me be an artist throughout all the, not just years, but decades of being an artist. And the angel said, an answer will be brought to you. And then they appeared later and said to paint a prayer screen. And I thought, what in the world is a prayer screen? So I was going, I'll look and see if I looked in antique stores. And I looked online at ecclesiastical stores. I couldn't find anything. I even went on eBay, put in prayer screen. What's a prayer screen? No, I don't think eBay existed then. I went online somewhere and put in prayer screen. And I thought, well, you know what? I had just been renovating a home, and I was an old familiar at Home Depot. So I thought, well, I'll go to Home Depot. And I asked some of the builders there, if you were going to build a screen, I didn't say prayer screen, what would you build it of? And they said, well, I'd get these narrow panels that you make folding doors out of, and I would put them together. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. But I didn't want this metal. I wanted some beautiful wood. So I selected ash doors, and I didn't get the little tiny ones. I got the ones that were, I believe they were 24 inches wide. And our carpenter that I'd been hiring, I hired to cut them down a little shorter so that they weren't quite so long and vertical, and they were about my height. I prepared the surface. I hinged them together, and I thought, well, what am I going to paint on this prayer screen? And I thought, well, by golly, I'm just going to paint that angel. And then another angel and another angel came to me. So I had three angel appearances that I put on that prayer screen. That was the beginning of what I would paint for almost 10 years. During that time, I became, it, the angels became a bridge for me back from what the heights I was taken to in painting the Lamb and the Lion, back to the earth where I was anchored. And now the interesting thing about that is that after that, what I most love to paint are landscapes. So I'm probably just celebrating the fact that now after that long journey, I'm able to have the spiritual bliss of it and be back to earth where I'm standing on terra firma. So my evolution as an artist has run exactly parallel to my evolution as a spiritual messenger and then spiritual writer and spiritual teacher. And finally into the blessing giver, where a very big part of us is anchored to the earth. And I think this is a very big part of Christ, of Yeshua's life. We have had many, many enlightened souls through the ages come to this earth and teach us about the spiritual realms. But from the earliest prophecy about the coming of Christ, we were told that he would be born of an ordinary, well, I don't mean to dequalify Mary in any way. I don't think there's a woman half so precious ever lived, but she was ordinary in the sense that she was flesh and blood, born of flesh and blood, of an ancient lineage, and she walked on the earth. She was very, very connected to the earth. So Yeshua was born of the earth to be in the earth, but of the spirit. In other words, he was a master of every kingdom, not just the spiritual kingdom. He did not have to deny the material in order to transcend the spiritual. He was master of all kingdoms, master of the heart, master of the mind, master of the earth. He could call the fish. He could multiply the fish. He could cause the plants to rise from the earth, heal the birds. He could provide food. He could heal hearts. He could call people into service through touching their hearts. He was a master of love, could heal people with love. He could tolerate the most excruciating pain that could ever be known on the earth level and transcend it spiritually, but not just transcend it spiritually and then leave us, but transcend it spiritually and then rematerialize. That's the uniqueness of his life. And the angels help us to have that bridge in our life. And of course, through the course of my healing and my growth and development as a servant of Christ, he's taken me through many, many of these realms. And in the offering of the blessing and the receiving of the blessing, we ask that you be very connected to the earth, that you let your heart be the active portal through which the spirit is received, but that you're through the top of your head, you receive spirit from the cosmos. And then we ask your mind not to be the provider of answers, because it is at its best when it receives the answers. Let your mind be in a passive mode where it can receive and be cleansed and be healed and be purged of negativity that may be in it. In other words, we're touching all realms of the body, heart, soul, and being. And only Yeshua can offer that kind of blessing, because no one has ever mastered the combination of all the realms as Yeshua did. And it's not always an easy road to walk. sometimes I would feel much better just to be in spiritual bliss and say, you know, boy, I'm tired of the pain on this earth. Take me up, oh Lord. But it doesn't work that way. We become, the irony, the paradox is that we leave the hard and harsh realms of the earth by first embracing them. When they no longer can conquer us, we no longer need them. What we need from these experiences is evidence and proof that we as a soul cannot be conquered. And this is why so many great spiritual leaders have emerged from hardship. They've emerged from life challenges. So many people who hit the bottom, and from the darkest night of the soul, the light comes forth. Because the only reason we ever need these conditions is to prove that we can transcend them. So that we have conquered all fear. We have conquered all reservation. We've conquered all judgment. I guess I went on a long answer of your question, Debbie. But the angels are here to remind us that no matter what we go through, our soul will transcend. Our soul will survive. And that sometimes the adventure is a hard one, but you will survive it.
Thank you for the blessings, Glenda. They're beautiful.
You are so welcome, Debbie, and thank you for just joining in our call. And you know, this is an, I just want to say this one thing for the whole community. You see, Debbie asked me about angels, but look at the whole I was able to bring into it. So no matter what your question or comment may be, it's my Christed challenge to find the wholeness in it. And as I start looking at the wholeness in your comment or your question, I actually bring the greater answer to you. And so don't worry about if you don't have a profound comment or a question to ask, or if you're confused about something or you need to know more about something. I'll ask Christ, and between the two of us, we'll do our best to give you the whole answer. So anybody else want to come on board, or should I just move on into my message? Let's see if somebody wants to come on. Star 6. I think somebody wants to. I feel it. That's why I'm a little reluctant to get started. But, okay, I knew there was. Okay, from area code 281, and you're on.
Hi, Glenda. It's Kathy from Houston.
Hi, Kathy.
I'm so excited because the doors have finally opened, and I'm going to be able to attend the next blessing seminar.
Oh, yay! Oh, I get so excited every time somebody can come. That is so amazing.
You know,
and in the in learning how to convey the blessing, you will get a complete explanation of the comments I just made about the wholeness of the work of Christ.
Well, I can hardly wait.
It's such an amazing experience. It really, really is. Oh, good.
Yeah,
go ahead.
My desire to go become a blessing giver has always been very, very strong. And I just know that there's a lot of other people out there who feel the same way. But the doors just weren't ready to open until this time for me.
You know,
I had to and wait for the right time.
Uh-huh. I have found that to be true with so many people, and the reason is simple. It's a calling. You can't come because I'm excited about it. You have to come because in your heart, something is waking up in you. And that's really, you know, really, really the reason you should come. When we first started, I think our first two blessing seminars, I asked people to make an application, like you were applying for the seminary. And it wasn't because I was looking for reasons that people should not come, but that I wanted people who could actually make a commitment and put it in writing so they would know that they were really ready to do the work. And then I began to realize, this isn't for me to say. It isn't for someone else to say or me. This is between you and your calling from Christ. If you feel a calling, you need to be here. I have never seen a person regret coming, and that's an understatement. All I have ever heard from people is, I am so glad I came. I can't imagine not having this knowledge.
Well,
and across the board, everyone's life has improved.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. But there's one other thing I wanted to add, and that is that since I've made the arrangements to go, I don't know if other people have had this experience or not, but I feel like I'm having retroactive blessings and miracles happening to me right now.
You are. And it happens to almost everyone. And you know why it happens? Is because you have responded to the calling. It's just like the apostles. They were just going about doing their daily business, collecting taxes, drawing fish, building homes, being a carpenter or being a whatever, ordinary, working class men. Yeshua said, come and follow me. They dropped whatever they were doing. And they were just transformed. Now, they would be taught a lot in the future. And to give you an example of how much they would be taught is that later on, one of the apostles would ask Yeshua, why do you tell us all these things, Lord? And you speak to the public in parables. And he said, because what you know is not yet for them to know. So he was extremely respectful about not giving knowledge that exceeded the level of a person's calling. The two go hand in hand. And once you have the calling, the knowledge you're about to receive starts pouring in. It doesn't have time or space connected to it. You start getting it even before you get here.
Well, it's certainly happening in my life.
That's terrific. That's the best confirmation anyone could have that you're supposed to be here. And two more people came online. Actually, you brought up what the real thing I want to talk about, and because I've touched on it now two or three times, I think I can do it pretty quickly, but we do have to be quick. Marguerite, I see you're on the line.
Hi, Glenda. This is Marguerite. How are you?
I'm doing great. Are you able to come this time?
Yes, that's why I actually raised my hand, was I didn't think I could. I didn't think that the schedule would fit. I had so many other commitments, and I just made up my mind that it's very important to be there, and I listened to my heart. And the pieces have fallen in place. I'm using Miles. I've got a roommate. I'm making it affordable. But most importantly, I just put it at the top of the priority list, and I'm working around it because my life is a little bit going through a lot of change at the moment, but I had to do it. So I just encourage everybody to listen to their heart. I've been to two blessing seminars, the first and the third, and everyone is different, but I do believe in the critical mass, Glenda. So thank you, and thank you for supporting the blessing givers who want to come again. It really helps.
Oh, you are so welcome, and I can't wait to give you a hug, Marguerite. Oh, that's just terrific. And we have one other caller from area code 406 that I'll take, but it needs to be quick.
That's me. My name is Jan. And
hi, Jan.
Hi. I'm at 406 area code is Montana.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if this can be quick. I mean, I can present it quickly, but I don't know if your response can be quick. But I'll try.
Right. But we'll see.
If
not, I'll give you, be on the call next week and I'll give you the full response, okay?
That's the deal. So this is my first time on the call, and I'm really on here for a very particular reason to what's going on in my life right now. Just so you'll know this little bit about me, I'm an end-of-life musician. I actually play the harp for hospice patients.
Uh-huh.
And so I am acquainted with end-of-life, with death and dying. And yet I'm having a lot of difficulty accepting the loss of the unexpected death of my son, my 28-year-old son, on New Year's Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought I would get on the, mm-hmm. I feel, and the other thing I should add is that I, even in the midst of my sorrow in dealing with this loss, I feel as though I will learn something in a way that I've never understood before through the death of my son. I have
mm-hmm.
a sense, and so that's why I'm on the call today.
Oh, bless your heart. Bless your heart. I'm so sorry. What is your name again? Jan?
My name is Jan. Uh-huh.
Hey, Jan, this definitely is a longer question that I want to pay respect to. So be on the call next week, and I will cover that subject because it's something everybody at some point in their life needs to deal with. Perhaps not on the magnitude that you are suffering right now, but we all will lose someone we love. And just experiencing at arm's length through a third person is not enough to be prepared for this. So I would like to respect that by giving my answer next week, if that's okay.
That's perfect.
And if you would like, I also do counseling sessions. If you would like to do counseling with me, go to our website or call our office and schedule a lengthy time with me. That's also a possibility. But let me summarize what I really wanted to say today, because it's very, very important for what we're all going through in the world. We're all feeling a need for change, and because we can't take the step into it, things are changing around us and making us whirl like a merry-go-round. It's sort of like a merry-go-round in the wind, with the wind pushing the horses, and we can't stop the horses, and we keep turning and spinning and turning and spinning. And all we say to ourselves, well, you know, I don't think I would mind change if I could just be in it proactively and positively so that I'm a participant, I'm a creative participant in the change. Well, see, the problem is when change happens critically, as with Jan, suddenly, or in ways that we don't understand, it's very hard to participate. But there is always something you can choose to participate with, something your heart recognizes is important for you. And once you activate your response to your heart, your heart is more powerful than the changes around you. You just have to experience that to see it. Your heart is the most powerful instrument of either stability or change or growth or acquisition or development or receiving or fulfilling. It is the most powerful energy within you. And here's an example, just a very practical, ordinary example. You could say, I want a bookcase over on that wall. I've got all this clutter around, and I just really want that bookcase. I want a bookcase over there. And let's say you've been saying that for 3 years, and that bookcase never arrives. It just absolutely never arrives. And you think, well, maybe it's just I can't prioritize it financially. So you put it aside again, and then you say, you know, I'm going to start putting aside $5 a week. And after a few weeks, you look and you say, but I've only got $30. That's not going to buy that bookcase. What in the world can I do? And so you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to go to a garage sale. And you went to garage sales, and they were a little more than $30 or whatever you'd saved up to that point, $30, $35, because you wanted something that looked nice. And you say, you get disappointed. You say, well, shoot that one down. But then you see a Goodwill store, and you say, well, maybe I'm going to pop in and look there. And you don't see any there. And you finally decide to go to a furniture liquidation store, and they have layaway. They have layaway. Okay? So then you go in there and you say, show me your bookcases. Show me what you've got. And he shows you the perfect bookcase. And it's like $200. And you say, look, if I put 40 down on layaway, can you hold that for me? Sure, I can hold it for you. You know, and then you have a sense that it's yours. You have it. You felt the call right now because you know it's yours. You can put it in your heart. And then 2 days later, you get a check in the mail from, let's say, a rebate from the electric company. Or a rebate from one of your credit cards that you had a rebate card. Or a check from your favorite aunt as a birthday present. And you say, oh my gosh, it's here. In other words, what happened is that as long as it was only on a wish list, nothing happened. Then you got it in your mind, and a little bit happened because you started taking some action. Because from the mind, you can take action. You got organized. You did your little savings account every week. You would go look at places. And you knew that was not enough. So then you made a connection in your heart. You said, you know, I really, really, really want a bookcase there. That's when you went to the discount furniture store. Because you said, no, you got in your mind what you want. You said, it's got to be a good one. I know what I want, and it's got to be good. Then it was in your heart. Then once you made it yours, the heart owned it. The heart takes care of its own. And that's the bottom line I'm getting to. The heart takes care of its own. But we have to get it into our heart. And a lot of times we have some confusions about what is and is not the heart. Sometimes we confuse it with emotions, with feelings, with having seen something we'd like to have. Sometimes we confuse the heart with just one of those best laid plans. That's kind of what I would call idealism, an ideal that we have. Sometimes we can confuse the heart with somebody else's encouragement. But the heart is the place inside you that owns your life and holds the very best for you. Get to that place where what you determine for your life, your intention, your love, the very meaning of your life is something you own, because it's your heart that owns your life. And sometimes it may mean making that down payment, doing something that really anchors something you want in your life. If you've been separated from a loved one, it may mean writing a letter and telling them how much you love them. In other words, re-own that friendship. If there's something about your home that needs fixing up, re-own your home. Go and fix up what you can. Step back and admire it, and then you'll get the incentive or the ability to get that home loan for improvement. You've got to own your life. And what has happened so often in our life is that when things don't go our way, when we get too many disappointments, when we get discouraged or we've had physical pain, we stop owning our life. That's almost the core of what years and years of psychoanalysis can do for a person, is to get them back where they own their life. But you don't need that. do what it takes to own your life. And then you will see what miracles will come just in the after effects of you taking over that ownership. Sometimes people have a great deal of trouble after a divorce with their children. And that's because they disowned their mates, which to some degree may be appropriate. But the fact is, you were together. You made a covenant at one point in time, and it doesn't mean you can't share part of your life and own it, because the children suffer from disowning the outward extensions of that married life that now has ended. People start disowning the home that had someone very unpleasant in it, and so the home falls apart. The best way I can tell you of where you've heard this before. Your home is where the heart is. Well, the home, as a parable, is the place where you live, and where you live is the place you own. And I'm not talking about rental versus mortgage. I'm talking about mental, spiritual, emotional, personal ownership of your environment. You have to own the environment in, own your life, own your goals, own your highest and deepest interest in life. Make it yours. When you make it yours, you've really pulled it into your heart. And it's not about physical property. It could be a feeling. It could be an idea. I could see many beautiful, beautiful landscapes that a thousand artists would want to paint, and I walk right past them because I can't own it. I can't own it in terms of my bringing it into my heart, fulfilling it emotionally, mentally, spiritually, embodying it as an expression of myself. Once I have owned what I look at, then I know that I can implement it as a high-level spiritual expression. And it becomes an expression of my soul. And that's the best description I could make of great art. Not all great art is technically perfect. My goodness, if you look at a lot of the early 20th century paintings, they're far from technically perfect. But what makes them great is they came from a place within the artist that he or she owned from the depths of their being. And recognizing that as a calling is what changes your life, and miracles happen in the aftermath of doing that. So if you have a decision you're trying to make, see if you can own the result of what you want. If you can own it, then do so. The miracles will come. It's not about ever being stopped by lack of funds, by lack of external agreement, or lack of external permission, or anything external to yourself. It's about feeling the will within and owning that which will produce the effects on the outside. So I guess I took a little longer than I expected on that, but I think it was a message worth giving. And we will move into our blessing now. And this is what the blessing is all about. It's about pulling the energy of the Creator, the Earth, of Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit into this sacred place of your inner being. Just remember, all of these blessings are around you at all times. But for lack of knowing what we really want, or knowing how for us to inhale the blessings of God, of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, we can't pull it into ourselves. It would be like we are a television that can't tune in to the frequencies that are all around in the environment. But if you can put a satellite on the roof and get the right tuning, you can pull in channels from all over the planet. So the blessing is already here. The blessing is from God. The blessing is from Christ. The blessing is from the Holy Spirit. The blessing is from the earth. We help you find that place inside yourself that can receive it And in order to do that, we'd like you to be in that special receiving position, seated, feet on the ground, head pointed upward, well, the top of your head, not your face. Just be comfortable in your pose, but don't have your legs or arms crossed, nothing crossed, so the energy can flow purely and distinctly right and left. It will flow into the earth, back from the earth to the heavens, from the heavens back to the earth and through you, and you'll feel a warmth. Most people feel a warmth or tingling in their heart. If you don't worry about it. It means it's at coming at such a high frequency, your body probably can't detect it. It's still being poured through you. So while the blessing is being offered, if you would say your prayer in any manner you wish to pray, whatever feels like or sounds like prayer to you, use that as your expression of your connection with God. And I will say an invocation to Yeshua, and one or all, as many as choose of the blessing givers, will be here to follow with us. So we open our blessing with a prayer to Christ. Son of God and friend of man, the one who keeps and blesses the earth upon which we stand, we thank you for your never-ending guidance, friendship, tolerance, forgiveness, enlightenment, and healing. The one who heals hearts, bodies, minds, souls, communities, and eventually the earth. We thank you for being in our life today and providing with us, all of us who are here, have a calling to heal, have a calling to happiness, have a calling to make a difference in the world and to lead and have a better life. Perhaps more abundance, perhaps more friends, perhaps more loving relationships. We thank you for blessing all manner of desire and seeking and needing and filling of all who come to the altar of your blessing. And we ask that you be powerfully present in the life of all those who are touched by this blessing, even though they cannot be on this call physically. We thank you for your love throughout the ages and for all time to come, knowing that you will receive each one of us in your heart as we come to the altar of your life. Amen. Your blessing has been conveyed. Now I would like you to go and rest for at least 7 minutes. And don't think. Don't bring your mind into an active role at this point. Just allow it to be fed and cleansed and relaxed and put aside. And allow your body to be nourished and relaxed and filled. The same with your heart, your soul. Just receive the banquet that has been laid before you. If you fall asleep, that's fine. If it's longer than 7 minutes, that's fine. But let it be at least 7 minutes so that you can become lost completely and surrendered completely to the nourishment provided to you. Bye-bye. Love from me, and God loves you always. I'll see you next week.